So this morning we talked about looking for a role model in others, and then also being able to be a role model ourselves. And then as I think about the fruits of the Spirit that we've been talking about now for several weeks, I look at those, and you know those, when they're ripening in our life, when they're functioning in our life, it's helping us to be a role model to others. So I've got another one that I'd like for us to look at this afternoon. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. I noticed something about that. It doesn't say it's fruits. They're all separated from each other. It's kind of like all these go together to make one good fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is, and I don't know that they're put in order, but I kind of think they are. You're going to have love, first of all. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You know what? You're going to have to enjoy what you're doing. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. And you know what? The result of all that you go through, you're going to have the fruit of the Spirit is peace. But here's another fruit. The fruit of long suffering. And to me, what I do with these is, as I look at each one of them, I take inventory. Lord, what about in my life? Do I have that fruit ripening that others are able to see it? It's not really talking about the length of an illness that I have. There's a lot of people that have lengthy illnesses. This is not talking about I've suffered with this affliction, this sickness for 3 years. But what it's talking about is patient endurance, forbearing. It's the opposite of haste. It denotes a state of mind which will bear long when it's oppressed or provoked. And I just have to keep going back to the example that was given to me by Joseph. His was 13 years that he went through long suffering, troubles that came to him from other people, and he was able to go through it in a way that is an example to me. And this is more than just, well, you know what, I was born with an attitude that I can take a whole lot of stuff that people give me. It just comes natural for me. This is something more than this. This is part of the divine nature that I want to be able to have. It's something that reaches farther than what I'm able to do. Because when I count on what I'm able to do, I think God's faithful to send something that stretches it a little farther than that and tells me, you know what, in each of these things, I need God's help. The miracle grow that we've been talking about of grace a couple weeks ago maybe is what's going to help this long suffering to be able to ripen, that the world around us would be able to take notice of it. It's not about how long we suffer a sickness. It's how I'm able to go through suffering that comes to me from other people. And I'd like to look at something. In 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, all it tells us about Paul is he had a thorn in the flesh that was given to him. And there has been a lot of surmisings of what that was. It was a sickness. It was whatever. But if you read the life of Paul, he had a lot of suffering that he went through. What did Jesus tell him about his long suffering that he's going to have to go through, whatever it was? He says in the 8th verse, he asked 3 times that it depart from him. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He had grace sufficient for him. What it really applies to is my interaction with other people. If we looked over in Acts, in the 9th chapter, we start looking at Paul. I don't know what that thorn in the flesh was, but I see a lot of things that could have been a lengthy, long suffering that he went through. Acts 9 and 6:15. The Lord is talking to Ananias. Paul was on his way to Damascus to give trouble to the Christians. And now he's blind. He's calling on God. And God says to Ananias, I want you to go down and pray for Saul. He needs you to pray for him. And Ananias says, wait a minute, I've heard of this man. He's on his way down here to do us harm. And here's God talking to Ananias. 15th verse, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. I will show him how great things he's going to suffer for my name's sake. Great things that he will suffer for my long suffering happened in Paul's life. That was something more than just if it was a physical affliction. What was Paul's desire? It tells us over in Romans, the 10th chapter, 10 and 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So he had one goal in mind when the Lord saved him. I would like for Israel to be able to understand what I've just seen. It took light from heaven for him to be able to see it. But his desire is that Israel would be saved. What all happened to him? In 2 Corinthians, we're talking about long suffering, and I think of what happened in Paul's life. 2 Corinthians 11 and 24. Here's the things that's happened. We're talking about long suffering, still things that happened in my life, and I keep on being faithful. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. And then it just continues on with trouble after trouble that has come into his life. And yet all the way through that, he still had a desire that Israel would be saved. There is another place over in Philippians in the 4th chapter and in the 11th verse. He says he's learned some things. Not that I speak in respect of want. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul was able to be popular one day and stoned the next day, and he continued faithful through it all. For us to be able to be an example for someone else to follow, I'm going to have this fruit of long suffering start growing in my life. And it's about when trouble comes to me that I'm able, by the grace of God, to bear that trouble and come out with a good example on the other end. Because look at this example right here. In Acts, in the 14th chapter, it would have been good to be with Paul at this time, right at the beginning of the 14th chapter. It says, it came to pass in Iconium 14 and 1 that they went both together in the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. What would it be to be in a church service to where so many people believed what you had to say? But then look what happened. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. If you will read Paul's journeys, there would be people would follow right behind him. He would come to a place, he's preaching, there's so many believers, and then here comes some Jews that do not believe. They stir the people up, and a lot of times that's one more stoning or one more beating that Paul gets. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So then we move on down to the 8th verse. They're now at Lystra. There was a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. What did he say in this other verse? I have learned how to be abased, and I've learned how to abound. It's telling that he was a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and he walked. And the people looking on said, the gods have come down to us. Paul now is very popular. And it says, and they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. The priest brought oxen and garlands and would have done sacrifice with the people. Look how popular Paul is at this minute right here. Sounds pretty good. And you know, Paul, I thought about this. He could have said, okay, now, Barnabas, I'll tell you what, let's just don't do anything right now. Let's maybe next Wednesday night we'll have a little prayer meeting service and tell them how God's the only one that gets the glory. No, what he did was he stopped it right there. He said, look, we're just men just like you are. And it goes on down here where it says, with 18th verse, with these sayings scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. Look in this. One verse later, after they have been so popular that the city is saying, we will do sacrifice to them, the gods have come down to us. There came, 19th verse, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, that's where they just came from, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. You know, that's amazing to look at how people can change so much from, I believe in this right now, but now somebody told me something different, and now they have stoned Paul when they were just maybe minutes before, a few hours before. They're saying the gods have come down to us, we're wanting to sacrifice to them. What does that have to do with us today? Talk about long suffering. To be able to take on something and say, Lord, I'm going your way. No matter if difficult times come. What does it say? It says how many times he was shipwrecked. How many times he was beaten. And yet he had a determination. I mean to go right on. We're going to need that for ourselves to be able to be faithful to the end. There is also an attribute of God that we need to be able to have. I'd like to look at a verse in Psalms 86. Because this really is not about me just being a strong person, that I can take a lot of trouble that comes to me and it doesn't affect me. Psalms 86 and 15. This verse, when you read it, this verse was said again at some time. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering. So God himself is long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. Where did you see this verse again in the Bible? It was in the book of Jonah. When Jonah said, I did not even want to come to Nineveh because I knew that you were a God of compassion, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. It's almost like Jonah used that same verse again. How did he know that he was plenteous in mercy? He had just had mercy shown to him just a little bit before that when he was in the belly of the fish. Fruit of the Spirit called long-suffering, it just goes hand in hand with mercy extended. It's not just me saying, okay, I'm going to put up with this, but no, instead I'm going to extend mercy because that's what the Lord did. Plenteous in mercy and truth. You know what? When I need mercy, I am so thankful that he has been plenteous in mercy for me. Lord, may I, when I'm dealing with this fruit of long suffering, it's not just somebody pulled in front of me in traffic or caused me a problem. Something that extends for a long, long period of time that I would still be able to bear fruit. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Is long suffering. The ability to go through something for a long period of time, be faithful. You know, through all this time, I believe it's still foremost in Paul's mind. My main desire is, I wish that Israel could be saved. He wished it. You know, Jesus wished it. What did it say? He came to his own. His own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God. You remember there was times where Jesus said, I'm not sent right now, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. His focus was on Israel being able to be saved. But then it turned and it was available then to the Gentiles. But I look at this, God's example to us is that he has been long-suffering. When we read 2 Peter, the third chapter, it says, there's going to be some folks come, and they say, where is the sign of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, all things have continued to the way they were from the beginning. What's he talking about? We've been hearing about the end of time coming. And he says there's a reason for it. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. How many years ago was 2 Peter 3 written? 2,000 plus years ago, probably. But it's still the same. It's still saying it's coming. But it's the long suffering of the Lord that he sees all the trouble that comes into our world. And he still extends it. You remember Abraham asking the Lord, would you, if you find just a few righteous people, would you spare the city of Sodom and Gomorrah? The Lord's mercy, his long suffering. You know, we see just a small picture of the troubles that are going on in the world. God looks down and he sees the whole picture. Things that are hidden, things that are seen. And yet he has long suffering, not willing that any would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. And then he tells us, I want to give you my spirit. And I want my spirit inside of you to be able to suffer long with other people. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 12th verse. And you know, today maybe we don't have any problems with anybody. But you know, if you keep on breathing, sometime you're going to need long suffering. In the 12th verse, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. This one goes right along with long suffering. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of peace. This charity he's talking about was the first fruit of the Spirit, love, that I need to have it to be able to have these other things. So let's look for just a little bit at what love is. In 1 Corinthians, because I'm going to have to be able to have this to be able to have long suffering. 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter and in the 4th verse, charity or love for God and for mankind, it suffers long. You know, I could turn that thing around and it's long suffering. Suffers long, but here's something that gets added with it. While it's suffering long, it's kind. Now think about with Joseph when he's in prison. He's suffering long, but what happens when we're suffering long is it's easy to turn everything into myself. It's about self-protection. I don't really have anything extra to give to others to help anybody else with. I'm trying to survive this myself. What I like about Joseph was when he's in prison and he doesn't know if he'll ever get out again, somebody else can come into prison and they're concerned about their own needs. And he tell them, look, don't even tell me what your problem is because I don't have enough for myself hardly. But instead what it was is he took their burden on himself, told them what it was, had a care and a concern for them. What I want to be able to have in my own life is not only suffering long, but while I'm suffering long, kindness goes right along with it. Suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, doesn't vaunt itself, is not puffed up. It says it rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. While I'm suffering long, I'm bearing some things, and I'm believing this thing could turn out better. I'm praying that it will. Believing all things, hoping all things, and enduring all things. You know what I want to have in my life is not the attitude when I see trouble come to somebody else that I have been long suffering with. It's for me to have it maybe just in my head. I don't say it. Yep, they had it coming. I knew that it was going to catch up with them sometime. That's not the long-suffering and kind together. But I think about Abraham's attitude. Lord, if you would find some righteous people, would you spare this city? My whole desire is, Lord, that you would reach out and extend a hand of mercy to them. That's my desire. And for me to do that, I need to be able to look at my own life of how long-suffering the Lord has been with me. You know what? When I look over the past, I behold how his wide arms of mercy have held me. Mercy was not just, oh, Dan, you're doing so wonderful. I want to pat you on the back. His mercy was, Dan, I'm not going to cut you off. I'm going to show you places that you can draw closer to me, adjustments that you can make in your life. And I am so thankful for it. So with that, Jesus left us an example. The time that he was here, he suffered long. There were people that were calling him a prince of Beelzebub. There were those that were mocking him. And what does he say at the end of it all? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. After long suffering, that's his attitude. With Stephen, when he is being stoned, and he has the attitude, Father, erase it. Don't lay this sin to their charge. It's going to be real important. I may suffer long, but it's the attitude that I have while I'm suffering long. While those troubles are happening, and it's lengthening out, it's getting longer and longer. What's my attitude about it? Because you know what I talked about this morning was a role model. And I don't think it's a place that I desire in myself. I want to do the things that will make me a good role model. No, what I want to do is just have this mind, which was also in Christ Jesus, and it will be that. So I don't try to make myself that. I just ask the Lord, make of me what you would have me to be. Help me to be more like you. But as that happens, that I realize, Lord, you have had such mercy on me. When I am called on to be long-suffering, you know, it is a fruit of the Spirit, just like peace is. I love peace. I love to be able to have it abundant in my life. Lord, may I have a desire, may I have a prayer with you, just as much as I enjoy peace. Lord, I want you to help me to be able to be long-suffering. May the Lord help us each one. Some of these fruit is easy to put on. Some of these fruit we will have to say, Lord, help me through those. But he is able to do it. When you have something that extends for a period of time, Lord, help me. This fruit is bearing, yielding fruit, good or bad, from it. Lord, may I profit and be able to help others through long suffering. Lord, help us.